You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 2. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, for thy working, for the outworking of all that you have in mind. So God, here we are, Spirit of God, thanks, looking to you. In Christ's name, amen. In the announcement God has recorded of the birth of our Lord Jesus, and as you read it in Luke and chapter 2, we're sliding down, if I can, to verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, stop being afraid, stop fearing, don't be afraid. Reason, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I'm going to bring you, I am bringing you, literally, I am bringing you good tidings, I am announcing glad tidings. I am saying it. I myself, the angel said, I am saying these glad tidings to you. I am saying these glad tidings, good news, to proclaim God's message, to proclaim good news, to bring a joyful message. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And so here's the good news, and the good news is to cause people to rejoice. And it says, the good tidings, not just of joy, but of great joy, great joy. So, news that gives joy, news that gives great joy. Because, and people are going to rejoice greatly at the good news. So, here's news. We have news, communications. We're having them all the time. We're receiving them, knowingly and unknowingly, by radio and everything. People, persons, places, coming and going. The news. So we're having all kinds of news. We communicate all kinds of news. We receive news. We communicate news. And all the news that we communicate, all the news that we receive, there's good news, and then there's bad news. So here's all the news. And having the news, when you're done with the good news, and you can't, you might as well enjoy the good news like Ecclesiastes, because there's going to be bad news. To every good, there's bad. God, you allowed it, yes. So everything, when we're all done, to have good news that causes great joy, where are we going to find that? Where are we going to find it? Only for a moment. Only for a moment. The good news. Because tomorrow is bad news. So, no matter how you do it, no matter how you want to go, it doesn't come out very good. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, but then tomorrow, all the joy is gone. So we can't, God. So us humans are faced with having all kinds of news and interaction with one another and the world in which we live. But there's no good news. There's no good news that remains good news, because everything, whatever it is, however it is, school, work, home, whatever, health, wealth, only for a moment, and then it disappears, and we have to live like that. So, the angel is saying to the shepherds, etc., there's good news, great news, wonderful news, that remains good news. Now, who's the good news for? Verse 11. For unto you, to your advantage, pointing to you, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The good news to you, to all people everywhere on planet Earth, to all people, there is good news amidst all the news that never comes out good. It can't stay good. It has to go ride the roller coaster, and it isn't good. It's good, enjoy the good like we shared, because the bad. And then in the bad, thank God that there's good sometime. So we ride the roller coaster. God has said, the angel said, there's wonderful good news. It happens to be because Christ is born in Bethlehem of Judea. God is born in Christ. Think of what we did in Sunday school on the incarnation, the Word become flesh. God, perfect God and perfect man in one body. Wonderful. Now, that's God's wonderful Son in Christ Jesus. Now, having said that, now God, where are we going to find the good news for sure? In Jesus Christ. How are we going to know about your good news in Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you will note, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that's the word, good news, good tidings of great joy. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached, there's the verb, to preach the good news unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. You have received the good news, and you are standing in the good news, by which, verse 2, also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached, there's your word, good news, the verb, to preach the good, glad tidings, proclaim the glad tidings. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, four, what are we supposed to believe? What are we resting on? Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ took our place according to the Scriptures, verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The good news, Luke chapter 2, verse 11, is Jesus Christ. Which Jesus? Where do we find the Jesus? Jesus means Savior. Where am I going to find Jesus the Savior? According to the Scriptures. There's 1,000 books, 1,000 ways of people thinking, solutions, religion, all kinds of ways. God, no, the good news is in a person. The person is the person that is given wonderful, wonderful clarity given to us, a clearness of who he is according to the scriptures, his death, burial, and resurrection. Do we have a problem identifying the good news? No, no. It's according to the scriptures. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, over to Isaiah. And let's go and tie it together inch by inch a little bit. Isaiah chapter 55. According to the scriptures. So we're looking at the Word of God. We don't have to, where's the good news? It's pointed out to us with clearness, without question. That's why you've got the Bible. We say it 1,000 times. The only book in all the world that is God's book. There is no competition with the Book of Mormon, Science of Mind, or anything else. Quran, no competition. Never competition. So we singularly have God's Word, His Holy, the Bible. Now, the scriptures. So we're going to find the good news that never becomes bad news. It's good news in the midst of all the world we live in, bad news that doesn't come out good. Because when we're done with all the news, and the good things and all of that, we die. That's not good news. That's not good news. We die. So, here's Isaiah 55, reminding us, A, of God's wonderful word, the scriptures. Picking up, please, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Because what do we know about God's saving grace? 4, verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. They're way different, as high as the heavens. Two different. So God, when we think we got a plan, we think we understand, we have to take a step back or two and listen and learn and relearn and unlearn. That's what we have to do. God, it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense when you have all the pieces. And when God, you take all the pieces and outwork them in a most wonderful way, it comes out good. We can't do that. We don't even know how to do that. But God, you do. Your thoughts and your ways are higher than the heavens. Verse 10, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In other words, it gives us the wonderful life on planet Earth. Without the rain, it wouldn't happen. Verse 11, so shall my word be like the rain. Goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, empty, fruitless, to no purpose. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Which is, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's scripture, according to the scripture, there's good news. And God said, the good news I announced to all people, born this day in the city of David, is a babe, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, according to all that I have in mind. What I have, what I think, and how I think. Not how you think or how I think. No, how you think, God. What else do we need to know? Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Remember, the good news is to all people. So, Isaiah 45, picking up, please, in verse 18. For thus saith the Lord, that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. That's why we're on it. I am the Lord, there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place in the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain for nothing. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Therefore, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together. Ye that escape the nations, they that have no knowledge, that set up wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, like the snow, like the rain. That every knee unto me, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. I've got good Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. I've got good news. It's for everybody, and the good news is to benefit you in the midst of the bad news which you live in, to give you good news. And the good news is, according to the scriptures, is in my Son, Jesus Christ. He is the good, he's born in Bethlehem of Judea this day in the city of David, our Lord. Therefore, having said that, God, what have we for unto all people? So the word's coming down. It's your word on your term, based on your terms and whatever you want to do. And you've given your word, and your word is there to all people to be saved. That's what it is. You said that, and you said you're the only God. You're the only Savior, verse 21. And therefore, we need to look to you to be saved. And God, and we're going to have to do so because every knee is going to bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. Sliding over now, with that in mind, God, you're an awesome God. Think of what we did in Sunday school. You're the invisible God that has become visible. Now, over to Isaiah and chapter 9. And unto Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 9, this one that is born in Bethlehem of Judea, this one born unto him. So how are you going to, God, you're going to make all kinds, according to the scriptures, you're going to clue us in over and over and over again about his birth, born in Bethlehem of Judea. You're going to tell us to get ready all the way down through history. We're going to be looking for the good news that you give in Christ Jesus for us who have all bad news. Therefore, Adam and Eve, going back just for illustration, Genesis 3:15, Adam and Eve believed the promise, the seed of the woman would be the Savior. And they came out from hiding behind the trees and fig leaves, and they came out and put on the coats of skin. They believed God. They believed God's good news in the midst of terribly, terribly bad news. We're born in sin and need to be saved. God, good news. Now, chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God, what are you going to do? He's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and it's the incarnation. We shared in Sunday school, Christ did not have a birthday. This is not his birthday. Not his birthday. He didn't have a birthday. You and I had a birthday to have a starting point. He never had a starting point. The incarnation. He came into a body prepared for him. He entered. The eternal God entered that body. The incarnation. The Word became flesh. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. A wonder of a counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. God's going to do a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing in his son, the one born in Bethlehem of Judea now. And so, having said that much and keeping that in mind, over to Isaiah and chapter 7. And in Isaiah and chapter 7, thank you. In chapter 7, God adding another piece to the picture. So we see, and now remember now, here's Ahaz, verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. In other words, you have no limit in how you're to ask. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. He was given an awesome opportunity, whose God, whose ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens, to say, God, you can ask anything you want, and you can go as low as you want, as high as you want, take any direction you want to the infinite degree that you're able to do, and ask me. That's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. Ask me anything that you want me to tell you. I have to tell you. And Ahaz, he just didn't do it. Verse 13. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also in not believing? Therefore, since you're not believing, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Why? Because you won't believe. I'm going to show you a sign, a virgin. That's what we just did with the apple and the golden apple and we did in Sunday school to help you understand. I wish I could have kept it. So you'd see it. God did that. Marvelous, marvelous thing. The virgin is going to conceive. The Spirit of God, Luke chapter 1, is going to conceive and bring forth out of the body of Mary a wonderful, wonderful baby, Christ the Lord. Hang on. Now, having said that, she's going to do that. But it can't be. But it will be. Now, having said that, Micah, according to the scriptures, so we don't have to guess. We don't want to make a mistake. Where's the good news? And here we are in Micah and in chapter 5. And in Micah chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He had laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah. Ephratah is another name for Bethlehem. Going way back to Genesis, Ephratah, Bethlehem. It was a different name. Same name, same place, different name. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Remember, a child is born, a son is given, the government, he's the king, king of kings. Verse 2, of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Wow, he's the incarnation. He's been always God. He always is God. He can be nothing other than God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, if you're going to, of all the places to pick, to be impressive, wouldn't you pick a king's palace? Wouldn't you kick some where a baby could be born? Like a big thing, a big deal, because the babies, there's a whole, babies are all the same, but that baby would be different. But you didn't do that, God. No. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. That's a little town, little place. And if you're going from the town someplace, and you're driving along the highway, and the street, and one of the roads, and you pass a gas station in a good place where they have all kinds of good, they have everything you ever need forever, the stores, and you go in that store, and you get everything, and you keep going. You pass Bethlehem. There's nothing. It's a nothing town. Little gas station. Hey, there's nothing there. What's in Bethlehem? What's in that place? It's just a little place. But that's where the one born out of heaven, incarnate, is going to be born. God, you're going to take in your infinite being, and you're going to take and narrow it all down to see what? I'm going to do something wonderful. The world doesn't believe. Now, God, you could certainly do something that everyone would see, but you aren't doing that. No. 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 So therefore, though thou be little, God, you're going to go and do what you do. And insignificant, there's no note. There's something to say. People don't have much to say. God has something to say, and he has said it. He chose the fewest of all people, the Jews. He chose them to be his special people for a most special purpose, us in a special place. God did all of that for his wonderful, wonderful reason, and his wonderful reasons. He did it all special, 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 special. And he chose to step into his creation in a most wonderful, wonderful way. He's the infinite person who's going to step into a finite moment of time, a person, limited arms and legs, little baby, God's creation. God, who gives infinite dimension, is going to go and narrow it down to a little baby. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, picking up, if I may, And you will notice in John chapter 1, picking up, please, the response to God. I'm going to pick up in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, sliding down, He became born in Bethlehem of Judea. The good news, sliding down. What did people do? Remember the Gospel of John, last living apostle, wrote at last 95, near the end of, God's going to put a period at the end, Revelation 22, don't add or subtract, God's done. John's writing, looking back at all of history from where he is. Now, chapter 1, what did people do with the good news? What did they do with Christ, who was the good news? Chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. They didn't even know Him. They didn't care. They didn't care. The Philistines didn't care. The Africans didn't care. Mexicans didn't care. They just didn't care. They didn't care. It didn't matter. Just another person. Just another baby. Just another person. That's all. Do we see Him as who He is? No. God, couldn't you have done that? Yes, He could have. But He didn't. He didn't. Hang on. Now, verse 11. The Jews, if anyone, they knew Isaiah. They knew all these verses. They knew them. They knew Isaiah. They knew Micah 5:2. They know all this stuff. They want to. Now, verse 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They crucified Him. They didn't want to know. But then, turn around, another good news. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power, right, privilege to become the sons, children of God, even to them that believe in His name. They can believe. God came to bring good news. That's what He did. He had to be born in Bethlehem and had to be born according to the Scriptures. He had to become and line Himself up with us, our humanity, so that when He died on the cross, He would bear the sin of the world. He bore your sin and mine in his own body on the tree. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, what are you going to do? So God, you're going to help us understand. Chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared or explained Him. So God, what are you going to do? I'm going to go and have born in Bethlehem, Judea, and I'm going to help you understand God. And again, back to Sunday school, if you can hang on to that. Sunday school will help you with all that. Going to help you understand God, the invisible God. You can't see Him, you can't touch Him, and you never, 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 never can do it because it's impossible to know. We can know God's wonderful person and presence. You can't see Him. You can't see Him. No more than you could see all of the galaxies at once. You can't. No. God, and that's a finite expression of an infinite God. So God, how are we ever going to come to grips? In the person of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, so there, He's come to what? Explain God, to make God real, to make God accessible to us so that we can come to grips with God, not just like Abraham or something at a distance, but to be able to know God, to be able to have a personal relationship to God. The good news, to have a personal relationship to God. That's what I need. That's what's missing. I need to get saved. I got sin, I got all my problems. What do I need? I'm missing a relationship to God. They need to have a relationship that is real, that is right, to God, legitimately, he's the good news. He's the good news. When does it become bad news? Never. The good news is for every single day and every single minute on planet Earth, no matter what news, no matter what you're thinking, feeling, fumbling through, he's the good news. So you always have good news. In the midst of no matter what the news is, you've got the good news. The good news is going to prevail. Now, having said that, think of John, if you can, to receive him. So, over, if I can, to Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, remember, just to tie it so that we, since we said it, but we'll look at it, chapter 1, verse 35. Verse 34, Luke 1:34, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How could I possibly give birth to a baby? Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing, the Lord, the baby, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. So God's going to do, taking the place of man, he becomes makes possible the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity. Sliding down, her response, Mary's response. Again, why Mary? Mary is just an ordinary woman, but she's a believing. She isn't going to give God an argument. She isn't going to debate anything. She isn't going to argue about anything. She's just going to receive it. Verse 17, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The word nothing in verse 17, the nothing is impossible, said the angel. Now, sliding down, if I can, the angel confirming it by way of Elizabeth, be it unto me according to thy word, and the angel departed from her. So Mary is going to believe God because God's going to do what he's going to do in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and God's just going to do it. And so since God's going to do what he's going to do, then all we can do is receive it and be glad because whatever God's doing is good. So therefore, so what's impossible for humans, it is quite possible for God. And therefore, they need to go and believe. Whose else is going to believe? Is Mary? You're going to have to just have the baby and they're not going to explanations. No explanations. And you're going to be able to go. And here's all the children. Here's all the children, as it were, of him. Hang over just a thought. Over to Matthew chapter 13. How do they see? People see the birth of our Lord. How did they see it? Matthew chapter 13. He's just a man. And picking up, if I may, verse 13:55, Matthew. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? They had no question. Do you understand? His wonderful birth? No, he looks just like us. He's just a person. He's a very special person, a very special baby. That's why, God, you hide that. Otherwise, they're mocking. And as it is, they're going to say, the Lord Jesus would say things, and they said, who are you to say such things, to think such things, to do such things? Who do you think you are, God? They said, yes, he is gone. The people just didn't want to receive him. They didn't receive him. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, and have God's in his wonderful grace is going to go, and remember now we're made in his image and likeness to be able to know him. So therefore, God has made us to be able to, when he sees you, he wants to be able to see himself. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking, you made him. He didn't make you like an angel. No. He didn't make you like an animal. No. He made you for himself, to glorify himself, to glorify his wonderful person. So he's going to take and make us in his image and likeness and save us. That's what he did. That's the gift. The gift is the giver. The giver is the gift. God, you're going to do what? I'm going to give you good news. In the midst of all the bad news, I'm going to be God, and your Savior in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And I want you to know, and he humbled himself to do so. That's what he did for me, for you. He humbled himself and became what? How humbled did he get? To a babe. Philippians. And in the process, Philippians begin in chapter 2. And he humbled himself. And he did. How so? And that's what you need to try to, if I can try to say it to you. You have to understand God in his awesome, awesome infiniteness. His huge God. Everything's in the middle. All of the universe and the zillions of galaxies or whatever are in the middle of you. God, and no one can see you. No, you're awesome. And God, you're going to go and you want to express your creativity, the way, what you can do. You're going to go and do a wonderful thing. You're going to go in your wonderful person and create us humans. Here we are, little old humans in flesh and blood. We aren't anything compared to the immensity of just space, just the sky, just the earth itself. We're just little old us. That's all we are. And God, you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. You created us to be able to enjoy, to be able to exercise, to be able to experience your awesome person. Us, so that we could do what? Enjoy your greatness, your marvelousness. How can I enjoy, God, your marvelousness? You're going to go, and I'm going to be able to have a unique relationship to you that makes sense, that works, that's correct, that makes it all work. I'm going to die on the cross. You're going to receive me as your Savior, and I'm going to make you a new creature in Christ. I'm going to do a wonderful thing in your heart and in your head so that I'm going to have a relationship to you and you're going to have one to me so that you can enjoy your relationship to the infinite God in a most wonderful way. How so? In the person of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. That's how I can enjoy him. That's how you can enjoy him. And God, that's how we're going to enjoy it. Because your God did what? You were going to go and humble yourselves to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, to be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Chapter 2, Philippians, verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The word servant is the word slave. And took upon him the form of a servant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God, you did that, yes. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue in heaven should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God, you're going to do something. Now, God, what did you do on that special day that was so special? You humbled yourself. Luke chapter 2. Luke in chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to go, and you will note, he's going to be wrapped, remember. Just think of it for a moment. We won't even touch it, but just trying to get you to see God in his infinite, invisible person humbled himself. He made us to know him. He became like us to be able to know him for sure, to be able to be saved, to know him. Good news. What's good news? God is good news. Chapter 2. So what are we going to do? We're going to find him, remember? Verse 7. Where are they going to find him? They found him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Remember, swaddling clothes, little cloth, sometimes bandages, sometimes diagonal cloth with a little tag in it. And you wrap a tag and wrap it around. Linen cloth kind of thing. And what did he do? He's in a stall, a manger. That's where they feed the animals. And that's where they had no room in the inn. And what are we going to do? He's wrapped. The little baby. A little baby's going to be born. And what's he going to do? He's just a baby. God knows everything. God is all. His ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. And I can touch that little baby if I could, like the wise men earlier. I can touch the baby. And the baby doesn't know a thing. Doesn't know anything. Doesn't know anything. No. How can that be? He knows everything. God yielded his deity to let his humanity be forefront. He's going to represent, take us humans in our humanity to the cross. God, you know everything. The little baby doesn't know anything. The little baby can't say anything, it can make a noise. God, all it can do is make a noise. And here you are, God, you know, all your words and your awesome person. And you humbled yourself to be a little baby. You literally did that and gave it the few months to grow and become. That's what you did. You did that for me. Yeah, I did that. You humbled yourself. I did. I did. All the while, are you still God? Are you still able to do? Absolutely. But I want you to know, you needed a savior. You needed a solution. You needed some good news. I have brought the good news in my son. I have brought the good news to you. This day is born in the city of David to all people and for all people a Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now you did that. Here's the baby. The baby, the little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Yep, just it. And having to feed the mother. Yeah, the baby's older than the mother. The baby's older than the mother. Wow. And here's the mother feeding. Here's a big, whatever you would have back then, to eat. And all you had is the mother's breast. That's all you had to eat. Uh-huh. That's all. You limited yourself to me, to be like me, born. I was born. And you were born just like that. God did it without sin, to grow and go to the cross and be our Savior in a most wonderful way. And God, do you know everything? I do. You know everything that was? I do. Everything that is going to be? I do. Everything that is? I do. I do. And I want you to know, I'm the good news in the light of all of yesterdays, in the light of all of tomorrows, in the light of right now. I am your good news. And no one can touch it or take it or change it. No one. No one can do it. Because I am the good news for you. Our Father and God, we just stumbled through all. Help us. God, we can't even come to grips with it. So help us, please. We don't want to have a traditional Christmas. We want to have an extraordinary Christmas. We want to be able to be exercised, to be able to understand the good news that is superior, outlasting, outmaneuvering all other news that can come in our brain and head and heart that we think and that we feel and that we have to go through in worry and want and everything else, depression, depletion, disappointment. God, we got them, all the things. And in the midst of all of it, the good news. God, may the good news be forefront, up front, to take care of every minute of every day, even so come, in Christ's name. And for those who know thee not as Lord and Savior, God, may they receive you, and we'll thank you very, very much. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.